This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to this WSOY stream. For more local information, including reports, tips, and help with the COVID-19 virus, visit nowdecatur.com. Now to your stream, brought to you by Hickory Point Bank. Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Cases, bringing the total number of cases in Macon County to 2,806. Currently, IDPH is reporting a total of 360,159 cases, including 9,387 deaths in 102 counties in Illinois. On Saturday, October 24th, the DEA is holding its 19th National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day at locations across the country. The DEA has sponsored spring and fall campaigns that provide a safe, convenient, and responsible means to dispose of prescription drugs and also to educate the public about the potential for abuse of medications. Last year in Central Illinois, the DEA collected approximately 17,400 pounds of pharmaceuticals during Take-Back Day. For a full list of what the DEA will accept or to find a collection site in your area, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
They attacked each other but didn't interrupt as much. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
I ran because of Barack Obama, because you did a poor job. If I thought you did a good job, I would have never run.
This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter.
President Trump and Joe Biden at their final debate got into it on a lot of issues, including the coronavirus. But the president says he's optimistic we're learning to live with it and rounding the corner.
We have a vaccine that's coming. It's ready. It's going to be announced within weeks.
Now, the former vice president took aim also at the president's demeanor.
This is the same fellow who told you that the character of the country is on the ballot. Our character is on the ballot. Look at us closely.
Now, the president also brought up Joe Biden's son's Hunter's foreign business deal. He's linking his Democratic challenger to them, and Biden fired back.
We learned that this president paid 50 times the tax in China, has a secret bank account with China, does business in China.
The president denied the allegation and accused the former vice president of securing business deals with foreign countries.
I don't make money from China. You do. I don't make money from Ukraine. You do. I don't make money from Russia.
Biden, in response, told the president that he's never taken, in his words, a single penny from any country.
That's Fox's John Decker. Today, the president will rally in Florida. Joe Biden will speak near his Delaware home. The Senate starts the process today to confirm Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Republicans praise her. Democrats boycotted the committee meeting that moved it forward.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says his party won't add legitimacy to the process.
The Republican majority is rushing to confirm a justice for a Republican president one week before Election Day.
Debate on Barrett is expected through the weekend ahead of a procedural vote Sunday.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. She could be confirmed Monday. America's listening to Fox News.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get someone who understands there's an art to listening.
Sure.
Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored mm-hmm. small business solutions that make you feel
okay.
Truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
President Trump is back, and Newsmax TV is fully covering his rallies live and without interruption. Newsmax TV is rising fast. Watch great shows with Greg Kelly and Sean Spicer. Plus on weekends, Mike Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, and Diamond and Silk. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide. Get Newsmax free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and Samsung and LG. Or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now.
There have been several hundred pre-election lawsuits over a lot of balloting issues, including expanded mail-in voting that the president claims will lead to widespread fraud. He lost a challenge over one in a state of New Jersey.
All registered voters in New Jersey were mailed ballots ahead of November's election. As Democratic Governor Phil Murphy said, there were too many concerns about the potential spread of COVID with in-person voting. President Trump's campaign had filed a lawsuit alleging the state's mail-in ballot process could produce widespread voter fraud and that it violated the Constitution. But U.S. District Judge Michael Schiff said no to that suit, writing that the fraud claim was based on what he called highly speculative fear. Jill Nato, Fox News.
As talks continue in Congress trying to work out some sort of Corona financial aid deal, there's talk about a $2 trillion plan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi still working with the White House to try to come up with some sort of a compromise. On Wall Street, stock futures are mixed. They've been down for the NASDAQ this morning, up for the Dow the day after the Dow gained 152 points. A giant loss on Thursday night football.
The Philadelphia Eagles soar to a comeback victory.
Wentz throws, pass is caught! Touchdown, Boston Scott!
Audio courtesy of Fox, Carson Wentz finds Boston Scott for the touchdown pass with less than a minute remaining in the fourth quarter to take the lead, capping off 12 unanswered points in the fourth for the Eagles as they rally from down 11 to defeat the New York Giants 22-21. Wentz with an impressive night, 359 passing yards, two touchdowns in the air, one on the ground to help Philadelphia elevate to 2-4-1 and take over first place in the NFC East while the Giants drop to 1-6. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Tonight, Game 3 of baseball's World Series, the Los Angeles Dodgers and Tampa Bay Rays have each won a game so far. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
When you talk about tires, you're talking about numbers. Tire size, speed rating, load index, air pressure. But there's really only one number you need to know for tires. That's 877-5051, the phone number for Smith Tire Company. Just tell us what kind of vehicle you drive, and we'll go over the numbers with you. When you have as much experience as we have at Smith Tire Company, we know what all the numbers mean. So see Smith Tire Company today at 2119 East Pershing Road or call us at 877-5051. That's the only number you'll need to know for tires.
Good morning. Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today, showers and thunderstorms are likely with an early high of 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 35. For Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 52, and Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 52 and a chance of rain. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 66 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday, October 23rd edition of Byers & Company. We'll check in with Pastor Matt from GT Church, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, and we'll get to last night's debate, the final debate before the election. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Are you a countdown guy?
Kind of, yeah. I'm looking forward to a few things.
I mean, I'm wondering, like, you know, people like to do that a lot in the media, I notice. Like, I get an email every day from the Sean Hannity show, you know, blah, 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 until the election. Big headline on Drudge Report this morning, 250 hours left.
Oh, I'm not to that degree, no. But I'm... I have a few things that I am like, oh man, we're only a month. I'll say a month away, a couple weeks away. I'm not day 13, day 12.
249 hours.
not this guy.
But when you put that into context, you know, and I wonder, you know, what all that means in the greater scheme of things, as so many people have voted early, 49 million people as we start this show this morning, and that will change again today, and those numbers will be added too. Nashville, the last debate last night, and I have to ask you just overall what you thought of the performances. Now, once again, this isn't a – I'm not asking you in a conversation way of fact-finding or – oh, what that person said wasn't true, or what that person said was more true. I'm just saying from a debate performance point of view, watching your television, seeing two people standing on a stage having a debate, your thoughts about what happened last night.
Well, I've got to say that I think that I'll start with Joe Biden because I expected him to stay on the fairway, and I think that he pretty well did that, held his own, and I think he was a little more aggressive than I expected him to be in taking some of those opportunities that he passed on last time. I thought his talking to the camera was effective. I thought that his choice of words and differentiating between, you know, red states, blue states, I'm all states, you know, he had some nice sound bites. He had several moments where he was struggling to find what he wanted to say, you know, things like poor boys. Which ended up, I guess, working out for him on the internet. But I think he did what he needed to do and was fine. Donald Trump, I think he gained a little more because I think the bar was set. His expectations were fairly lower because of his behavior last time. He came in fairly composed. I wouldn't say fairly. He was mostly composed. I think that he did very well, you know, in delivering to his base. You know, some very strong statements and some red meat at times, and a couple of things that I think he did extremely effectively, and Mike Pence did this as well. They really seized on the opportunity to point out a hand in a cookie jar, if that's what he perceived. Like, hey, look over here. You really need to take note of this over here. And when he generated arbitrary lists throughout, they weren't so arbitrary. They were battleground states. His arbitrary, hey, I'm just talking state A, state B, he had reasons for picking those. And so I thought he did very well for his audience, what he was trying to do. And I would think that people caught in the middle might have said, hey, this guy is not as crazy or as loud or it might peak his way. Not saying he won, but I'm saying he did what he needed to do as well.
He won the debate last night. And I don't mean on merits or ideas or you can go out and do four Pinocchios or do all of this other stuff. He was much stronger in a way that was not nearly as obnoxious or unhinged or whatever word you would throw in there to describe the performance at the first debate. He stayed on point. He was mostly respectful to the moderator. He didn't do a lot of interrupting. And I thought Joe Biden looked 800 years old last night. I don't disagree with your assessment of what Joe Biden did that was effective. It just seemed when Donald Trump quit screaming and Donald Trump just let him answer, he struggled almost every question. Like, you could see the internal mindset struggle of forming sentences and saying what he wanted to say.
Yeah, I would agree that he took that extra time. That is for sure. How much of that?
He would start a sentence, Nick, and then just change the sentence in the middle of the sentence to say what he was really saying, because the sentence he started with was stalling to get to where he wanted his mind to be.
Yeah, he did that several times.
You didn't think he looked old last night?
I mean, he didn't look youthful, but there were times where, you know, when his rebuttals, he would just make a concise rebuttal. This is how I feel, period.
I guess that. But there was not a lot of concise without sort of this trying to formulate where you could, like, physically see him try to formulate what he was going to say.
Yeah, and I did notice that got progressively worse as the night went on, because I think he started off in a sprint and ended up in a jog.
Yeah, but it was only 90 minutes.
I know.
I mean, we're not talking about a marathon.
I know.
We do more than that every day right here. And no one's counting on us to lead the free world, thank God.
Right.
I'm not knocking. I'm just saying watching last night, as I go into all of these, right, I am not prejudging or going, oh, this or that. I'm just saying I'm going to consume this 90 minutes, and I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to be as honest as I can be with you and everyone else about what I saw. And I saw a really old guy last night in Joe Biden. Not unlikable. Not at all unlikable. Just old. And when you think about his age and Trump's age and the conversation we had yesterday with, you know, the 300 plus million people that live in this country, and once again, here you are, here are your two choices. And I've never really watched a presidential debate thinking, man, it would be, I'm not even sure either one of these guys would make it through 4 years.
Right.
And I don't mean to be more. I'm just saying, you know, everybody has parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. You watch them progress, and the difference between 77 and 81 is like light years.
It can be, yeah, for sure.
I thought Trump was more energetic without being obnoxious. Now, I mean, the people that hate him, hate him to his core, are never going to give you any of this because they're just blinded by that. Or the same about Joe Biden.
Right.
I'm not blinded by any of that. I'm telling you, he was assertive and he was aggressive as far as, I'm going to have my say. But his body language and he does his own incomplete sentence thing that's almost mind-boggling.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Do you think that some of that stuff that, because he oftentimes pivoted mid-sentence or would start and stop, but
he does that all the time.
Right. Now, is that just a better cover-up of the same thing that was happening over there?
I didn't get that. I mean, maybe.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I'm telling you, in the 90 minutes on that stage in Nashville, Tennessee last night, he looked the more energetic.
Yeah, there's no
question.
He
looked the more, I had vitality, had like, sort of like, I'm not thinking about him dropping over next week.
Yeah.
And Joe looked old and sounded old. Doesn't mean that what he had to say wasn't relevant. Doesn't mean what he had to say wasn't right. I'm just talking about looking at two guys standing on a stage next to each other, or at least socially distanced. And when Trump should have done round one was let Joe Biden be seen by everybody. But what he did was steal all of that by interrupting and constantly. Right. I mean, he gave him the cover of looking like the reasonable guy standing up there while Trump was acting like a crazy fool. Debate one. And by dialing all that way back in the second debate, it left Joe Biden to answer those questions without interruption. And I'm not so sure that's not what Donald Trump should have done in the first debate.
He said Donald Trump won this debate. Did he win on some slight points? Did he win on points or did he knock him out?
No one knocked anyone out. There wasn't a knockout.
And did Joe Biden get one of the three judges or was it a 3-0?
This was, yes. When I say won the debate, I'm saying just style points, you know, who comes out better when you put it all in. And this was like 48-47 from Judge 1 and 48-47 from Judge 2 goes to Joe. And with the deciding third judge says 47. I'm not saying you can interpret this and other judges might say the other way around. Sure. I'm just saying Trump did, I think, for him about as well as he could do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Based on expectations, based on the first debate, based on the town hall meeting last week, based on everything else, he would have been much better served to take this tactic from the get-go.
Does your perception of this change if you, not going as deep as fact-checking, but like point by point, does Trump still win for you?
Probably. I mean, that is all in the eye of the beholder, right?
Right.
Because they all stand up there and exaggerate their record and exaggerate the other guy's record, right?
Yeah.
I thought Trump scored some points that Joe struggled to answer. I thought Trump was smart not doing the whole night, meaning Hunter Biden, all of this stuff that I was sort of expecting, right? And I thought Joe struggled. I mean, you say it worked out for him on the internet. I mean, if you're willing to acknowledge that the guy can't come up with the word proud, and if that was the only mistake of the night, it would be, okay, well, everybody does that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did that over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there were several of those on the other side as well. I mean, it wasn't a perfect oration.
I know, but it was. It's not the oration. It's the way it's delivered. It's the way that Joe Biden gets that look when he can't think of what he wants to say. I mean, it's uncomfortable.
I agree. Has he always been like that to where it's the stutter thing? Or
no,
is this
I'm not even talking about, let me be very clear. I'm not talking about the stutter thing. That occasionally comes out, and I am not by any means or whatever, you know, be poking at that
And Trump didn't either.
No.
To be fair.
It's not the stammering. It's the when I can't get what I'm trying to think to say in my head and I start one way, you can physically see it manifest itself.
Right. But what I'm asking is, isn't that part of stuttering? Where
it could be, but Joe Biden didn't used to be
that
way. I mean, there is clearly a difference now versus 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago.
That's what I was asking. I'm not making any sort of judgment on it. I'm just curious.
And there were times when he was very good. So once again, when I say one, I mean beating expectations, standing up their style points, how he handled it, what he didn't do that he did the last time that everybody universally panned. There were, if I'm going 48-47 on the scorecard, you could easily argue the other way. No knockouts, but he did better, I thought, on that stage of being sort of standing up there and looking the part, and I know that sounds ridiculous because he's got the goofy faces and the hair and all of that, but there was more energy out of him than there was Joe Biden.
I think that basically implies that, a few details aside, that we pretty well agree that he gained more ground and Joe Biden played on the fairway. Donald Trump shot for the green.
Yeah, and I don't think that did anything for him, by the way. I mean, I'm not... Once again, this isn't a judgment call about, well, oh, did you swing a bunch of voters or did you get a bunch of undecideds to come your way? No. I'm just saying, here's what the expectations were. Here's what the stage and the debate looked like. And at the end of it, who performed better in that setting for those 90 minutes last night? And as you said, and I thought accurately so, Joe got older by the 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that as well. I also
the last time somebody used the word gymnasium?
Well, I teach at a school. So.
No, but do you say gymnasium?
It's only in school context, but no, it's not like an
vernacular. When did somebody last time say walk and chew gum at the same time, or the word malarkey? I mean, even in his language last night. Now, I thought it was very effective when he hammered home about all Americans.
Yeah.
Not red Americans, not blue Americans, but all Americans. I think that plays to a lot of people, and I thought that was a thing that he did very well. And then we held the mask up. I thought he made some impactful points.
Yeah.
It wasn't a disastrous performance.
Mm-mm.
Malarkey? You know?
Come on, man. He said that several times.
Yeah. And there were a couple of times when Trump had a weird phrase, and maybe he does this, and I'm not aware, when he wanted to repeat the question, he would say it.
Yeah, say it.
That was weird, too.
She was like, what are you saying?
And he dropped a Perry Mason reference. And then you wonder, now, is that an HBO Perry Mason, or is that like Raymond Burr?
Yeah.
And there was one moment that was fantastic for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden didn't hit it out of the park the way the Twitterverse did, is when the president turned to him and said, I know more about wind than you do. That was set up on a tee, not like any tee, like one of those jumbo tees you would use to tee a golf ball up and hit it 365 yards.
Right.
I know more about wind than you do. And there was a couple of times, there was a moment, and this moment killed George H.W. Bush. Joe Biden pulled his sleeve back and looked at his watch. In a debate, way back when, with Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush, he did the same thing. And it sent the message of, like, how long are we up here? What am I doing? It wasn't focused. I mean, normally we would look at our watch any number of times, any day. I'm just saying the critics jumped all over that, like, this guy's completely out of touch. He's not focused. He just wants to get off the stage. Now, fair or unfair, Google that. You can go back to that moment in the debate. And there was literally a moment where Joe Biden did the exact same thing last night. And there was also a moment a little bit later in the debate when it wasn't all the way over where Joe Biden took the pen he'd been using all night and he put it in his pocket. His coat pocket, his suit pocket, signaling like, I'm done. I mean, if you and I have 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left, and I'm making those body motions, what does that say to you?
In theater, it says, I'm checked out. In theater, as you're describing it. In practicality, it's like, I'm probably not writing anything else down. Let me fold up my notepad. We've rounded third base.
I get that. But the signal is
in theater,
I'm checking out.
Yeah, in theater.
I'm looking at my watch. I'm putting the pen away. I'm done with notes. When the hell are these 90 minutes going to be up?
Yeah, I think you're right. In practicality, it's probably not that, but it is what it is.
These are small things.
Mm-hmm.
But body language matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Body language used to matter with world leaders before we just sort of like regurgitated anything we wanted to via Twitter. You know, body language mattered in diplomacy and how you held yourself as a head of state, as a leader of the free world. And I think sometimes we'll get back to that, but we'll see. What I am convinced of, and this would be me putting my pen away right now, what I am absolutely convinced of, after watching last night, is we need a 50-year-old president. Yeah. We need a president that has a foot in today. We need a president that understands that this nation and this world has changed dramatically and accelerated 50 years in the last 7 months. We need a 50 or 52 or 48. I mean, there's no magic number. Mm-hmm. What we need to quit doing is having these 75, 78-year-old white guys up on stage. And that's not ageism. They stood up there last night and talked about all the senior citizens in danger of COVID-19 mm-hmm. without acknowledging that they are who they are talking about.
And one of them was literally a senior citizen with COVID-19.
Yes. And then there was one moment where I thought Trump was very effective. Lindsay just sent me a text. We were talking about this last night. I ran because of you, Joe.
I thought that Joe should have replied back and said, and here I am directly because of what you've been doing.
Yeah.
I mean, but he didn't take it.
That's just strong, but yes, agreed. So this is up to the Russian judge, the Chinese judge. See, I'm keeping it all topical. It's figure skating.
Yeah.
No knockouts. But in my head, logic tells me if you got to give the flip of the coin to either one of them, Donald Trump won. The debate. Whether it changed a single mind or garnered a single vote, I don't know.
Buried in that, do you think that Joe Biden in particular was fairly effective in outlining some of the plans and that he had?
I don't think either one of them were effective in that regard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In political debates, that's really not a place where that happens anyway.
How can you do it in that format?
But yeah.
I thought he did an okay job of that.
Yeah, I thought he escaped the whole Supreme Court thing, which I'm stunned that wasn't, that's a moderator thing.
Yeah, what did you think of her? She do all right?
I thought overall she did great. I mean, even Trump looked at her and said, you're really handling this well so far.
And
he left
listened.
Us so far, because I might change my mind 2 minutes from now.
Right. That was funny.
The AOC plus three was a new one for me. I mean, I think I knew what he was talking about, but that was kind of like, some of that stuff's too cute by half.
Right.
But I just really, what we were talking about with Joe Biden back in February, before the pandemic, during the Democratic primary, about, man, has this guy lost a step? Right?
Mm-hmm.
We had those conversations because up on that stage with all those other people, he looked really old.
Right. Now, if he were to get elected, do you have fear that he's too old to do his job?
Back to my statement, we need a 50-year-old president. I left last night thinking, left the debate, watched all 90 minutes, left last night thinking, man, we can't keep doing this. This is what they keep doing. No matter how much excitement gets garnered, no matter how much whatever, this is the end result every single time. And I'm not a person that's saying, I'm not saying you can't be white or you have to be black or you have to be Hispanic. I'm just saying we just keep getting the same results. Here's your, vote for the lesser of two evils. Here's your two old guys. And I put Hillary in that same category, sure, by the way. I thought, and I've remained thinking, that what would Mayor Pete look like on that stage with Donald Trump? But the Democrats decided he wasn't the right thing for them. So it's both parties. We got to do better. We'll take a break for stories and news. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiloh with your stories now. The Illinois Department of Public Health announced 4,942 newly confirmed cases of coronavirus disease in Illinois, including 44 additional confirmed deaths. Macon County officials reported 60 newly confirmed cases, bringing the total number of cases in Macon County to 2,806. Currently, IDPH is reporting a total of 360,159 cases, including 9,387 deaths in 102 counties in Illinois. On Saturday, October 24th, the DEA is holding its 19th National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day at locations across the country. The DEA has sponsored spring and fall campaigns that provide a safe, convenient, and responsible means to dispose of prescription drugs and also to educate the public about the potential for abuse of medications. Last year in Central Illinois, the DEA collected approximately 17,400 pounds of pharmaceuticals during Take-Back Day. For a full list of what the DEA will accept or to find a collection site in your area, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. During their second and final debate of the campaign, Joe Biden and President Trump accuse each other of improper deals in other countries.
We learned that this president paid 50 times the tax in China, has a secret bank account with China, does business in China.
I don't make money from China. You do. I don't make money from Ukraine. You do. I don't make money from Russia.
On race?
Nobody has done more for the black community than Donald Trump. And if you look, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history.
We're 11 days to Election Day. Pennsylvania's attorney general warned the Trump campaign having representatives videotape voters at ballot drop boxes may amount to illegal voter intimidation. The campaign has complained about voters dropping off more than one ballot. America's listening to Fox News.
It's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. SIU Center for Family Medicine Decatur gives you a few things you need to know that could make you at risk. Changes in breast cancer-related genes, having your first menstrual period before age 12, never giving birth, or being older when your first child is born. Most women who are 50 to 74 years old should have a mammogram every 2 years. If you are 40 to 49 years old or think you may have a higher risk, talk to your doctor today. Make an appointment at SIU Center for Family Medicine Decatur at 872-3800.
When we need it most, Rodney Davis gets things done. When COVID-19 hit, Rodney worked with the USDA and Small Business Administration to secure timely aid for farmers across each sector of our industry. At a time of bitter partisanship, Rodney calmly looks across the aisle and finds solutions. Always ready to take on challenges, Rodney knows there is still more work to do to get our economy moving again. Send this friend of agriculture back to Washington. Vote Rodney Davis for Congress. Paid for by Illinois Farm Bureau Activator.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we're going to have showers and thunderstorms likely and an early high of 68 degrees. Tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 35. For Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 52. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 52 and a chance of rain. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 66 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:33.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Girl, you really
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. We are live in the Palatial Studios on a very dark morning. What do we had our little getaway fantasy day yesterday, right? 80, got 80, like for about 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Sunny.
Yeah, it was very nice.
That's done, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The high of today is happening like...
Right now?
Right now. And it's going to be like 45 degrees by like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Great. And rain on top of that. Super. All right. Pastor Matt joins us from GT Church. We'll be visiting with the mayor in just a few minutes. Pastor, how are you this morning?
I am doing great, Brian. How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. You know, the fall weather I normally love, but this rain and the sort of dreary gray, we got to set the clocks, you know, in a week or so. But I am trying to be optimistic.
Me too. Yesterday was one of those days. I'm like, wow, 80 degrees in October. This is nice.
Yes. Got to take your moments where they are.
You got it right. You got it right.
All right. What's going on?
Well, listen, Brian, I want to kind of put a little label on our conversation this morning called Confessions of a Control Freak. Brian, I'm a little bit of a control freak. My wife tells me that I'm a whole lot better than when we first got married, but I had a situation happen a few weeks ago, Brian, that just reminded me, you know what? All you can do is really kind of control yourself. So let me paint the story for you, Brian, really quickly. It's one of these really beautiful September days, and me and my best friend decide to hop on our motorcycles and go for a ride. And so we're having a good time, man, just cruising, chilling out. And my worst nightmare happened. I watched my best friend go down on his motorcycle. He is one of these guys, Brian, great rider. I mean, much better rider than I am, really can keep that bike under control. And so I watched. He's in front of me, and I watched him go down. And it was in those moments, Brian, and I'm going to talk about it in my message this Sunday. It was in those few moments and I just realized, my goodness, like I have no control over what's happening to him right now. Now, thank God, you know, it all worked out. He got pretty banged up, but it all worked out. But it was in those moments right there that I realized, man, all we can really do, Brian, all we can really do is really be thankful for what comes into our lives and really try to grow in ourselves. But we really don't have a ton of control over what happens around us. We can affect the direction we want our lives to go in. But in situations like that, you really do realize, man, I'm not really in control of much. Do you know what I mean?
I do, but I am also a big fan of control freaks. And I'll tell you why. Because I think there's a lot of people that can take your message, and your message is accurate, but they can take it too far the other way and sit around and go, there's nothing I can do. And I think that's as dangerous as being too much in control.
I love it. And I have to 100% fully agree. In my classes for my degree, Brian, right now, there's something called locus of control. And it talks about whether you are more internally motivated. You know, you think that you do have control over kind of the direction that your life goes, and you kind of make things happen, or you are externally motivated, like you have zero control, and everybody else just decides what happens to you, or environmental factors. And I'm definitely one of those people. I have a high internal locus of control, Brian. And I think how I'm distinguishing these things is, where I would like us to land is just, we do have control over a lot of different things in our lives, but the things that we don't, where I ended up landing with his accident was, thank God that God is in control. We do, Brian. We do have things that we can influence, and but then there's those moments where you realize, man, thank God.
Look, listen, all of us, right? You stand there and you go, wow, I guess illusion is nearly all we have, because there's so many times that the world will remind you you don't have control over much. But you got to get up every day and have control over what you can have control over, and that's your own behavior, your own life, and what you do with your time to make the world a better place and to help others. And I would really, really encourage other people to sort of, if you take that attitude, it does give you a little more balance, I think. So I am going to applaud you as a control freak. I'm going to tell you that's okay. And then realize when you can't control it, right, when you're sitting in the plane and you're not flying the plane, you got to understand those moments as well. What time can I access this Sunday morning, either in person or online?
9:30, gtchurch.com, and we're gonna it's gonna be a good time this Sunday.
All right, Pastor Matt, you be safe, and we'll talk to you next week. Pastor Matt Samus from GT Church. Did you take the Gallup Strength Finders testing you were supposed to take?
You know I did. Yeah.
Well, how did I know?
I told you.
Well,
we talked about it.
We did?
Yeah. You gave me some. You helped me clear my mind.
Oh, I did.
Things.
That's right. But what were this is sort of what Pastor Matt was talking about. You know, you take this test, and there's like these 30-plus categories, mm-hmm. and you're basically, you know, it's explained differently depending on who it is. Sort of, you know, I went through this with Ken Smithmeyer, you know, years ago, who was the CEO at the time of Decatur Memorial Hospital, one of the smartest dudes I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, interesting, smart, different thinker. And, you know, I think a lot of us, or at least a lot of people, sort of spend a lot of time either denying who they are or mm-hmm. trying to be somebody they're not.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
So I wish people would have, it's a self-awareness thing,
mm-hmm.
That you just say, okay, here's who I am, and this is how I can be a better me, rather than, you know, of those 32 whatever number of strengths you have, those bottom five, you're not ever going to be that.
Right.
So why try?
Exactly. Yeah, put your money in the states that are up for grabs.
Yes. Right. So it is interesting. You know, control freaks, you know, that phrase, it's a pejorative.
Mm-hmm.
When most of the control freaks I know in life are the ones that make the needle move. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no Apple without Steve Jobs. There's no Steve Jobs without Control Freak.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean there wasn't a whole bunch of people that made that happen. But those whole bunch of people had jobs before him, and we didn't have Apple.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at that, yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely
And it can
does.
Turn people off, and people get intimidated or whatever. But man, you talk about moving the needle. You got to have some of that. And then you got to have other personalities that temper that and complement that. And then, it's all one big thing. But I don't – look, you got to know what you're not in control of.
Yeah.
The world will remind you of that constantly. Everybody gets those wake-up calls.
Right. I don't think I'm in control of Gallup sending me about 2 emails a day now either.
Oh, listen to you. Move to Arthur. If you really want to be this Luddite
I am just kidding. I get lots of emails. It's just funny. And actually, I actually peeked at one of them today, and it's like, oh, maybe I should be reading these. So
they're meant to help.
I know they are. I need to read them.
Yeah. You have an aversion to that.
I don't. I'm being silly.
No. But what is it? What's the reluctance of like, oh, now I feel like I've got an onslaught? I mean, you and I and we're like the last two people in the company to take this test. And I was just frustrated because I'm like, I've already taken this test.
And I didn't know, to be honest, I thought it was like a suggested sort of thing. I didn't know that I was being asked to do it.
Oh,
so,
I got you.
So when somebody was like, hey, you didn't do it, I'm like, well, I'll do it. I did it right after the meeting.
Okay.
After I put my pen away and checked my watch.
Checked your watch?
I did it.
Put the pen away. We're done here. All right. The mayor will be with us another day, another large number of positive cases. Illinois is all over the place. There are mitigating efforts going on down south, up north. What does this mean? How do we make sense of it? How do we do everything we can do here to make sure it doesn't happen? How? On the other side of the Marquee coffee break. I got to tell you, I walked in this morning. Carolyn normally makes the coffee. She wasn't here. I made a fresh pot. I like poured a cup out of it. There's nothing better in life. That first, the aroma, that first sip. When I tell you the magic is in their beans, I truly mean the magic is in their beans. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Liv Crabtree, and I wanted to ask you to vote for my teacher, Sue Scheer, in the election for state representative. Mrs. Scheer was a teacher for over 30 years, and she worked every day to give kids like me a brighter future. Now she is working to create jobs, help working families, and support our schools. Vote for jobs and a brighter future when you vote for my teacher, Sue Scheer, for state representative in this election.
Paid for by friends of Sue Scheer.
When you talk about tires, you're talking about numbers, tire size, speed rating, load index, air pressure, and of course, the price. But there's really only one number you need to know for tires. That's 877-5051, the phone number for Smith Tire Company. We're the area's only Michelin Alliance certified tire professionals. Just tell us what kind of vehicle you drive, and we'll go over the numbers with you. When you have as much experience as we have at Smith Tire Company, we know what all the numbers mean and how they can affect your tire and service needs. And with quality tires from Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Uniroyal, we'll have a tire to fit your needs and budget. And for service needs, remember Smith Tire Company for oil changes, wheel alignment, air conditioner repair, brakes, shocks and struts, tire rotation, and tire repair. When you're driving on the highway or when the weather is bad, you deserve to have confidence in your tires and in your tire dealer. So see Smith Tire Company today at 2119 East Pershing Road or call us at 877-5051. That's the only number you'll need to know for tires.
Hi, I'm Scott Reeder. I'm running for Macon County State's Attorney. I have 20 years' experience as a prosecutor and 15 years in the criminal justice system as a public defender. I strongly support the police and the work they do, and I believe our criminal justice system can work for all of us. Reducing crime involves community, family, education, and opportunity, and all of us working together. This is the approach I will bring to the office of the Macon County State's Attorney. Please vote for me, Scott Reeder, on November 3rd.
Paid for by friends of Scott Reeder.
This upcoming election, vote no on the Illinois constitutional amendment question. A no vote will continue to ensure all Illinoisans pay the same income tax rate. A no vote will prevent politicians in Springfield from being able to pick and choose whose taxes they want to raise. A no vote will hold Springfield accountable to all voters. Vote no on the constitutional amendment and keep our state's income tax flat and fair. Paid for by the No Progressive Tax, Illinois Farm Bureau.
Boo at the Zoo, presented by Xfinity, is back. This family favorite tradition at Decatur's Scoville Zoo will look a bit different due to COVID-19 requirements. No more waiting in that long line. The zoo is requiring reservations to help ensure a safe and healthy environment for all. Guests can go online to ScovilleZoo.com to make a reservation. The cost is $5.50 when collecting treats, $4.50 if you're not collecting treats, and kids under 2 are free if not collecting treats. Visit ScovilleZoo.com to reserve your spot at this year's Boo at the Zoo.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. October 23rd saw the 250 hours until the election countdown clock. Crazy, right? Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us. Mayor, good morning and welcome. Do you get the numbers before the rest of us do, or do you see that press release every afternoon from the Joint Crisis team?
We get a draft first, the Crisis Communication team does, but we also have a pretty good idea in the morning of what direction we're going. Yesterday, I believe it was, sorry, the days are kind of running together with me, but there was some slowdown at the IDPH lab that most of our tests were being sent to, and so they had to branch those out. So we didn't have numbers early in the day, but we knew from being as busy as Tanya's site has been that we were probably looking at some high numbers. I'm not sure specifically. I mean, the tests went out and they're coming back. But we may hit a higher number tomorrow, mainly because test results coming back. And with that slowdown, it may have delayed some of those test results. You know, I'm asking people to have some patience where we're really fortunately getting most tests turned around in about 2 days. They have just been slammed with people coming in because they've been exposed to someone with COVID or they're sick and they want to find out if it's a cold or the flu or allergies or COVID. And so we're asking for a little patience. I know it's hard because you're kind of self-quarantining until you find out whether you have it because you don't want to infect anybody else.
I know you told me yesterday or the day before the Macon County Health Department is trying to find and hire contact tracers. How are they publicizing that? I'm not seeing anything about that. We clearly need more bodies on this.
Yeah, Brian, I don't know. I know they have been. They initially wanted full-time people. I believe they're taking part-time people now because they just really need more bodies on the front lines trying to get this done. And, you know, and that's a process in itself. You've got to hire, you know, I don't know how they're advertising, but they're trying to find people who are interested. They're interviewing. They're running, you know, the checks that they need to run on them. They're, you know, doing everything that's involved and then training them before we can get them out there. One thing I do want to note, Tanya and Brandy Binkley and I were talking last night. We're trying to see about putting together a news conference for this afternoon at some time. We don't have the logistics worked out yet as far as the time or even the location, but to give an update from the medical community about what we need to be doing and where we are and to stress the importance of trying to get a handle on this.
I look at the numbers yesterday in Illinois. These numbers are as bad as they were, if not worse, than June.
They're worse.
And yet there was a urgency that we all had as a nation, as a state, as a county. I'm not saying everyone was happy, but everyone was having this sort of, oh, you know what, moment of like, this could get really bad. I look at today, I feel like you and I are saying the same thing, and I think a whole bunch of other people are just going, you know what, I'm over it.
Well, Brian, there's a, you know, this COVID fatigue is real. People are so tired of this. And it's been a summer where, okay, it was a different summer. We didn't have events to go to. Everything from county fairs and festivals to Decatur Celebration were canceled. And now what's worse is we're going indoors. It's going to be crummy out. It'll be cold. It'll be nasty. So we won't even have the ability to, you know, garden or go fishing or do something that gives us some enjoyment. And so it's going to be, I'm very concerned about, you know, this fatigue getting worse and people just saying, it's not working anyway. Why bother? You know, let's just get back to life.
Yeah, but it's not working because those same people, yes, there are some that have fatigued. There's a large chunk of people who have not been serious about this from the get-go.
And the irony of this is just as you said, you know, the people who are most likely to be like really tired of this and just giving up on trying to fight back and just saying, let's just open the doors and live our lives. Those are the same people that have really pushed back from the beginning, which has really helped us get to where we are right now.
All right. I know that the message should be, and I struggle with this, and that's my bad, is not to be sort of, you know, talking down to people. But you got to have some sympathy. You got to have some empathy. You got to have some feelings about your fellow human beings, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle, people you don't even know. We're talking about schools trying to open up. We see how easily this gets out of hand. I mean, I can tell you last week, one meeting could have caused, you know, without anybody doing anything even wrong, could have caused an impact on hundreds of people. And you think about, like, how does District 61 bring 8,600 kids back? And you do the math. And yet there's the folks out there that just say, nope, don't believe it. It's a hoax. It's fake news. I'm not going to participate. And that same thing fluctuates through our businesses. You got probably 99% of the businesses trying to do the right thing, and that 1% of the business just thumbing their nose at any medical fact or science can shut down all of the other 99%.
And then you see stories of high school students who have symptoms that are almost like a stroke, and then they end up so incredibly sick and fighting for their lives. And those are the people we need to think about. This is not just for one demographic that it can get you and make you very, very sick and possibly kill you. This is for every demographic. We are seeing more and more young people get seriously sick from this, and it's very scary because there are some people that are like, well, you know, those are old people that are dying from this. No, it's not just old people dying from this. Unfortunately, we haven't had a number of deaths here. We do have young people who are sick. And they are very sick.
All right.
We have other people who are getting mild symptoms. But that's who we need to remember. This is about our neighbors.
Yep. The largest category, once again, 20 to 29-year-olds of positive tests. Now, will the vast majority of them probably be okay? Yeah. But who gets to write off 35 of those people? Who gets to write off 40 of those people? Yeah, we don't care if you have long-term health implications or you're a long hauler or anything else. Yeah, you got heart issues out of this, no big deal. I mean, who gets to do that math and decide? And I think so much of it is just, I'm praying that on election day, no matter who wins, it's a landslide. So we as a country can move on. And for all of those people who have claimed and still continue to claim, oh, this will all be over after the election. They're going to see we've got a long, hard winter in front of us, a long, hard winter. And we've got to do a better job of taking care of each other. We just have to. Now, hospitalizations. Every day this report comes out, we publish it from the Macon County Health Department. According to the health department, as of yesterday evening, 34 people were hospitalized. That's 34 Macon County residents.
Yeah, now there might be, that specifically is Macon County residents because they pull out the people from other counties that come to our hospitals because not every county has a hospital or the ability to care for COVID patients.
Yes, but as I understand it,
this is true across central Illinois. Springfield is seeing a huge increase. Champaign is seeing a huge increase. Decatur is seeing a huge increase in hospitalization. We have very sick people here.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that number can be misleading. It's not meant to be misleading. It's just saying here you're Macon County residents. But from my understanding, one of our hospitals, has more patients than that, just one of them, because of if you live in Sullivan or if you live in Findlay, you're going to end up at HSHS St. Mary's or DMH.
Yeah, and that's very, very true. And even the communities that have smaller hospitals may not have the ability to deal with COVID patients, and so they may be transferred up here. But Brian, if you look at hospitalizations, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but from a month ago, this is a different game we're in right now, and it is stretching our healthcare workers to the max. And you know, they're not immune; they get sick too, which puts an even bigger burden on our healthcare system. So we are at a very serious point right now. And we've got to do everything we can to, you know, I hate to go back to flatten the curve. The curve is like a spike right now. We've got to bring it down.
Mayor, please be careful, be safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Hopefully we have a weekend with lower numbers. It's not perfect. It's not the cure. But when you think about telling the generation that went through the Great Depression or World War II, hey, there's three things you can do. You can wash your hands. You can socially distance. And you can wear a mask. Not too much sacrifice. Your great-grandmother would reach from the back seat and snatch you bald-headed, I think was the term that Jessica Tandy used to Morgan Freeman in Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, yeah. Haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stick with the Joe Biden theme. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast from the gymnasium with the poor boys.
Today, showers and thunderstorms are likely with an early high of 68. And tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 35. For Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 52. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 52 and a chance of rain. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 66 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:56. And this look at your weather is brought to you by Staley Credit Union. We go everywhere you go.
It's a busy world out there, so Staley Credit Union is here to give you some extra time. Finance an auto loan with us, including boats and RVs, and we're offering no payments for up to 90 days. Already have an auto loan somewhere else? No problem. Refinance your auto loan with us or take advantage of a cash-out refinance. It's the same deal. Learn more at staleycu.com. Subject to credit approval. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice. Proudly insured by American Share Insurance.
This is Dwayne Noland, and I serve 6 terms in the state legislature representing the citizens of Illinois. It's my pleasure to endorse Deb Kraft for County Board District Number 5. Deb is an outstanding leader. She is currently the vice chair of the county board. The government that's the most important is the one closest to the people. That's why it's important to have strong leadership, and Deb Kraft brings that leadership, business skills, common sense, and ethics. That's why I want you to join me in voting for her on November 3rd.
Thanks, Dwayne. I'm Deb Kraft, and I serve as vice chairman of the Macon County Board. County governments have been hit especially hard this year during COVID, but with responsible budgeting and working together, we've been able to put the county in the best position possible. possible. I will continue to work for you to make sure that Macon County continues to be one of the best-run governments in Central Illinois. Together, we can build a strong future. I'm asking you to vote for me, Deb Kraft, for Macon County Board on November 3rd. A vote for me is a vote for you, the people of Macon County.
Paid for by friends of Deborah Kraft.
Financing college can be overwhelming. Millikan University is committed to helping families manage tuition costs, and that's why they award more than $20 million in scholarships every year for academic achievement and unique talent. And all students receive a merit scholarship upon acceptance. That way you can spend less time worrying about what you have to pay back after graduation and more time focusing on professional success. Apply by December 15th to meet scholarship deadlines. Visit millikan.edu/scholarships to learn more.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiloh with your stories now. Yesterday, the Illinois Federation of Teachers President Dan Montgomery released a statement following the Illinois Department of Public Health's announcement that they will be sharing data on school outbreaks. Montgomery stated he is glad the IDPH is taking steps to ensure transparency and that having timely and accurate information is essential to stopping the spread of COVID-19 and preventing large-scale outbreaks. To read the full statement, go to nowdecatur.com. With several areas of Illinois preparing for increased restrictions by Governor Pritzker, bars and restaurants in the affected areas have already been issued a warning. Yesterday, Region 5, Southern Illinois, will have mitigation efforts go into place. Today, Region 7, Will and Kankakee County.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.